On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Yeah, there's a Donald Trump, you know, Vince McMahon kind of a thing going
Your
on there.
Fire.
And I'm just pointing with both hands. I don't even know.
Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?
No, man, no.
This is Tall Can Audio. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
Just do it!
How's it going, everybody? Tall Can Audio number 698. I don't know. Matt over here, Rob over there. Is that cheating? I mean, we did do...
I saw that when I went back and I listened to the Chris Hoffley pod. Good pod, man. Nice. You guys put together a nice little bit of entertainment.
He was a fun guy. Yeah. Cool to talk to.
And loves his beers.
Yes. And Flora Hall is one I'd never heard of.
Never heard of that.
Now, I went and checked it out afterwards, and I think you might maybe dig it more than me. It's a lot of IPAs. It's a lot of, I don't know what I even mean when I say this, but the name of the place sounds fitting, right? Like it's maybe
it's the Flora bit, right?
Yeah.
Like it's going to give you...
Like it's a florist.
That smacks of citrus.
Yes.
And
yes. That's what I think. And that's what the website seems to indicate. So
we've been doing this pod for too long because I can... It's like I
know what this
get
guy
right
means.
Into your brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
It might be full of stouts, but I've judged the book by the title and walked away.
Right? Like, I'll let you know because we had a not a raft of people. We were inside the number of people that you can gather with.
Sure, the bubble.
Yeah. But people pillaged my beers. So
curse.
Well,
as grown men, like that used to happen a lot at our house down in Belleville. People would roll in and they'd bring their 6 Lakers and drink something of value and leave their shit behind. Like, I only had 3 and I left you 6. I'm like, your 6 ain't worth a fuck, man. Like,
your 6 is actually worth $4.50.
Yeah, you owe me money for leaving that here.
This is it. Now, it was just what I think, yes, that's not the situation.
Okay.
I'm not left with, you know, your Carling Strong.
No.
Or your Coors Light.
Yeah.
Because that shit's getting pitched over the fence.
Sure.
It's Corona. Corona is what I've been left with.
And no one's feeling the Corona right now.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, looking to change their name to Ebola.
Yeah, for sure.
Less controversial.
For sure.
Less current.
Everyone's
yes.
feeling the Ebola right now. Like, we're good to go with that.
It's a distant
just
memory.
Just calling
really.
Out for it.
Yeah. For us here in this continent, anyways, I can't speak to our good African friends.
No, it's true. Tons of downloads coming off the African continent.
Hey, and so I got to tell you.
Sub-Saharan downloads.
Yeah. It's pulling the curtains back, as we are wont to do here.
Mm.
It's been a couple weeks since you and I have been on.
Yep.
And recorded.
Yeah.
I'm putting the earphones.
We pre-recorded some stuff, and
I'm throwing the earphones on today.
Mm-hmm.
The wings are out of control,
it's
man.
It's obnoxious everywhere, man.
Because I got to talk. I actually had to pull the earphones back off and then push them in front of my hair to keep it off my ears. So
honestly, and when I'm heading out the door now, the hat's on and I'm pushing the sunglasses on and the push in between now. And you're, like you say, you're tucking things up underneath and it's a mess, man. It is a mess. What are you drinking today? Because it, as you've said, it's been a while. I assumed you've burned through the rest of the stalwart. We were actually starting to get complaints.
Yeah, people want us to us to move on.
It had been, because I'd been into it for a week or so before you got yours, and then we circled back and whatever. So, what's the approach today?
Well, the deal is if I'm gonna order local, I'm gonna make it worth the brewery's time and my time. Right. I don't care if they're tall cans. I need 18 to 24 pints have to be coming my way.
Okay.
So it isn't just, you know, I don't have many 8-pint sessions in me right at this moment.
No.
So you do have to sprinkle it about, and of course, you do have to give it a go. So
they're isolated complaints.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, I get it, right?
The good listener understands. You tune in, and if I just ordered from such and such, like, we're in a weird time, right? And if I ordered 4 different beers from a certain brewery, you're probably getting 4 straight shows from that brewery.
So that being said, I got a couple beers on the go here for this episode, but I am starting with, and you could hear, I don't know if you could hear, I poured it.
Yeah, I was trying to back off for you there. And
so that means that, I'm drinking a stout.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm drinking my, I can't always find it, but my go-to for an Ontario stout, the Chinook stout from Muskoka.
You have mentioned that before, and it is a great stout.
It is absolutely a great stout.
Yeah.
So that is what I'm taking down today.
Okay.
It was a part of my birthday gift.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what? I got a brand new lacrosse stick.
I know.
Sweet. Yeah. Yes, of course you would. She went out looking for assistance, I understand.
Yeah, and I took a big just nothing swing at it. I said, "I know why you came here as a sports guy or whatever. I got nothing, right? Like, I'll help you look, but I'm as blind as you are on this, right? I know shit about lacrosse." So
then she says to me, "Hey, can you give me John's contact information?"
See, that's what I was going to do. Reach out through Twitter to Rob's buddy Webb.
Yeah.
And see what he had for us. But
well, so of course I'm like, all right. Cause it had been maybe a week or so. I was actually using the pool skimmer like a lacrosse stick. Right. I'm sort of, and I was just thinking to myself, oh man, I wish I had a stick to just mess around.
Sure.
With,
right? Yeah.
And so love it. Honestly, love it. I took it when I went with the dog yesterday. I took the stick and a ball with me and just messing around.
Play keep away with him.
Yeah, just a little behind the head action, you know, cradling down low. You know, sure. Just good time. But the other side is I got a care pack of, well, I got a big bottle of gin.
Nice.
Woo.
Any tonic? Everybody forgets the tonic.
Yeah, I got a dozen tonic as well.
All right, okay.
6 of limes.
Yeah.
So when you're doing it right, 2 limes is 2 pints worth of gin.
Okay.
So, but yeah, some Vanishing Point IPA, Imperial Stout from Innocent Gun.
Nice. Never heard of it.
So, yeah. You've heard about it right on this show.
Okay.
Yeah. I've
got to go a long way back, I guess.
Yeah. I've talked, well, Christmas, usually around Christmas.
I'm loaded a lot around Christmas. I can't be expected to remember
your
beers. I can't remember my own beers.
Yeah. I got a couple of aromatherapies from Beyond the Pale, but I got a couple of Chinook Stout and a couple of Jutsus from Bellwood out of Toronto.
Okay. And?
I took those down.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm not disappointed with it at all. It's an IPA.
Right.
Yeah, funky can. And it delivered.
That's my college nickname.
Yeah, for sure. Once people got tired of calling you Swass.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for sure. it was good.
Can.
Yeah, and it delivered. It delivered on all those things, right? It was a solid double to the gap. If you want to go with that, it didn't over deliver and it didn't undersell. So, good to go over here, man. What do you got going?
Yeah, I got tired of waiting for you to ask, so I had to give her a poll there a few minutes ago, but I've circled back to Ridge Rock.
Gorgeous!
And see, even when he asked me, he's off doing his own things. I'll see you in a couple minutes when Matt's done talking. I had mentioned the first time that I went to Ridge Rock that they didn't have any of the stout. And I was peeling around late last week looking for where am I ordering from next. And I'd been on a couple of web pages, and most of these guys, and good for them, man, sold out on a lot of stuff. Like, people are sticking with this and hitting it hard and supporting their local breweries and stuff. So while I'm frustrated that some of the stuff I'm looking for isn't available, at the same time, you're like, you know, glad to see that, right? Like, so I peeled back to Ridge Rock, and I had let them know, for those who've been listening for a while, the last time I did, they had like a maple something, there was an amber, and there was an Irish
maple
red.
Maple glaze.
That's right. And I had left a thing at the end when you order, they're like, if you want to leave any special notes for your order or whatever. I said, hey, if your stout happens to be available and you just haven't updated the website yet, or, you know, you're brewing it in the morning before you deliver, hook me up with six, update my bill, whatever, and let's do that. And they didn't, but when the guy dropped it off, he said, I know you're the guy who was looking for the stout. We're brewing it again tomorrow, you know, if you want to come back to us. And I wasn't coming back the next fucking day. You know, you're going to have to wait your turn to get back in the round. But I circled and it was back, as were a few other things I hadn't tried. So because I wanted to try their stout, I placed another order with Ridge Rock. I also got their wheat, their lager beer. And today I'm drinking their blonde because it's fucking hot, man. I was looking for something kind of, yeah, a little refreshing, a little lighter. This is, I would stop short of tropical, but there's like a little bit of fruitiness to it. And it's a nice, light, easy drink on a hot ass day like this. So yeah, I got a couple of the blondes. It's treating me good so far, man.
Well, I'm in a home that's 69 degrees.
Yeah.
I've been in the pool twice today already. Yeah. So it's always stout weather in here, baby.
This sure.
this never changes, right? It's not like but I got up, I had a couple of coffees heavily laced with Irish cream.
Heavy.
By the pool. Yeah.
It's too hot for that. Like, you can be in the pool. Oh. You can't sit by the pool right now.
Oh no, man. You get a good sweat on.
Ooh, fuck.
Then you get, well, I was in the shade.
Yeah. All right.
Little breeze.
When I got up this morning, like 8:30 here in the city, it was already like 29. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Feels like 30. That's what it said.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't get up till 10.
All right. Well, good for you. And I got right into the Bailey's. So.
And here we are. Yeah. We're just cooking all day. That's how it should be.
So you said it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on the mic. We did pre-record some stuff so that we could take a little bit of a break, and we put out some other episodes. So if you haven't had a chance yet, go back and check out number 697. We had Chris Hoffley from the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, does all kinds of communications and social media and stuff for the Red Blacks and the 67s, everything under the OSEG banner. Man, he was a lot of fun. Bought in immediately to our vibe, to what we like to do here. Had a couple of beers, and he knows the craft beer scene around the area. And it was a lot of fun. And just, it's just cool when people immediately come in and go, okay, I see what you're going for, and just buy in, right? So it's a good listen.
Well, I agree with you. To me, it's you guys had kind of an instant rapport, I would suggest, right? It's almost like you knew each other from before, which is nice, as you know, to try and get something up off the ground with somebody who it's awkward with. But he was very clearly good to go, chatty. Yeah. Now I got to tell you, I listened to it, but I take issue with something the pair of you said. Yeah. Right? He said,
"Yeah, I really just agreed."
Yeah, your co-host, right? You go, that's your normal co-host. That's the guy who swears quite a bit more than you. Am I right? And you were like,
yes.
Yes. And then you just kept rolling. I'm like, fuck you, man. That is the case.
There it is. Right.
Yeah.
I'm a clean cut. Well, normally.
Yeah. I'm like, that is not the case.
Straight laced.
Good listener, you know that is not the truth.
Now,
Matt is the far more potty mouth than the two of us.
I think there might be some truth to that, but I get away with it. Because mine is more dropped into the conversation where it's like, those fucking guys will never get away with it. Where yours is very exclamatory, right? It's just like, I can't believe that. fuck. And like
fuck you.
Right. It really stands out. Like mine's done almost out of glee. It's dropped in conversationally. It's no problem. And you're upset about it often. And
yeah. Well, I'm upset often, to be honest with you.
For sure. So go ahead.
And this conversation is not any different, right? We started this when I got on the mic with you. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This shit's crazy.
I got problems. That's TCA 697 with Chris Hoffley of OSEG. I would absolutely encourage you to go back and check that out. We got a couple other interesting guests. I've been catching shit for teasing guests and then not announcing them soon enough, which is weird to me because we have had more guests in the last couple of months than we ever have on this show more regularly. And I'll tell the listener, I'm just done teasing them until they're actually recorded, right? Like, we've had some people back out or people cancel or whatever comes up. And I've said before, hey, you know, whoever it might be is going to be on. And then they just cancel and you're left holding your dick in your hands like, fuck this, right? So you just, at this point, until it's in the can, I don't tease it anymore. But stick around because honestly, I think we got some good shit on the hook for you and we will let you know. So give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio.
And I'm just going to tell you, in terms of furthering the tease, if you like some of the guests that Matt has gone out and landed here in the last couple of months, you'll be stoked about this one.
Yeah.
So to me, it's totally worth the wait.
Do you not feel right now like in the next couple of years we're getting ready to see the release of We Didn't Start the Fire Part 2 and we are living in the shittiest lyrics? Is that not what's happening right now? Yeah, every time you wake up, you're just like, oh my God, what now?
History is great to read about. Yeah. It's not so great to live.
This stinks to live through. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
In the fact that 2020 could not be more of a bag kick. Right?
This year could have been a whole verse.
This is it. And not just one.
No. Like, remember Murder Hornets? Remember when Iran and Iraq were firing missiles at each other? Remember
shooting on planes?
Right. And it's just like, I don't know. That seems like forever ago. That was 2017, wasn't it? No, motherfucker. That was 3 months ago.
Yeah, the Murder Hornets. I forgot all about those
guys. Murder Hornets clearly flew in, took a look around and went, like, they read the room and went, we'll come back later. Like, you guys are busy with some shit here.
So. What's Alaska doing right now?
The entire Arctic Circle is on fire. Like, parts of Siberia. 2 nights ago, the hottest place in Canada was in the Northwest Territories. That's not right. These are things that we were worried about 3 months ago and still need to be, but they're like 6-7 rungs down the ladder now.
Yeah, well, the Murder Hornets roll in and say, are you kidding me? I don't come third on the marquee,
no.
Right? I need to be top billing or else forget it.
As we look back a little bit, I wanted to take you back only 2 years to this weekend in 2018. And I want to hit you with a couple of things just because I think they're indicative in a sports sense of how fast the world can change. This weekend in 2018, Gerard Gallant named Coach of the Year. Pekka Rinne wins the Vezina. Taylor Hall wins MVP. And this one lags a little behind in terms of the rest, but Anze Kopitar wins the Selke. Kopitar at this point is on the worst team in the league and his contract doesn't look as good as it did. But to me, you can separate it a little bit from those other three. The rest of those seem like forever ago. Pekka Rinne has all but lost his job in Nashville. No one remembers Taylor Hall as MVP. He doesn't feel like an MVP this year. And Gerard Gallant's been fired again.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is crazy.
It's
right?
2 years.
And if you want to look at it and go, the Selke thing is weird because nobody really knows what the voting criteria is. I know what the award is given for.
Yeah.
But it's never given for the most defensively aware
no.
forward. It's given to the guy who is
right. able like to Rob Zamener points. Has no Selkies. Right? Like
Andreas Dackel.
Right. Like you want a guy who still puts up at least 60 points, but also isn't awful in his own end. That's who gets the Selkie.
And he's got to be a center because
For sure. That must be Rob Zamener's problem.
Yeah, of course it is. Well, if he's good enough to make the 98 Olympic team over Mess.
And this is it. Then we always talk about, well, we've joked about Rob Zamener a bunch of times on this show. To me, it's not because he was one time a senator. It's because he's the most laughable Canadian Olympian in the NHL era, right?
Like, well, and he was a Tampa Bay Lightning, I think, at the time.
He was at the time, yes. So it's not ripping Sens fans. It's, oh my God, you picked that guy over, like you said, Messier, I guess. But
yeah, but how many people amongst us, and I'm looking right at you, I know for sure me, were saying, that's good Hockey Canada,
yeah.
line building. That's your prototypical third line player, right, who's going to check and do all these things. That's you can't have a team of superstars.
Right.
Oh, wait.
Yes, you can. And now we give that spot to Patrice Bergeron, who, by the way, could score 30 goals in a season. And you look at that guy and go, he's the face-off guy, the penalty kill guy, the good glue guy. You don't give it to the guy who, you know, your Zach Hyman or whatever it might be.
Like, right. Well, or that line that you had, which was Richards, Taves, and Nash,
Rick Nash,
I think.
Killer. Yeah, all of them. Like, Rick Nash was a 50-goal scorer at one point.
Yeah.
Like,
how you doing
check
there?
Check in line. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm pretty good. Pretty good over here.
Yeah. So we got a bunch of stuff that we could touch on here. I think we ought to start with the Sabres, but we're going to get into the Blue Jays and the MLB mess. We're going to get into the Steve Simmons thing. There's a lot of stuff that we can get to here. Before we get to those, I want to hit you with this just because I know you're still a little new on the social media. Yeah, no, there's stuff, man. We're loaded down. This is probably our most loaded show of the pandemic, if we're going to use that as a qualifier. Social media. This week, Matt Murray of the Pittsburgh Penguins went on his Instagram and not only unfollowed the Pittsburgh Penguins official page, but all of his Penguins teammates. Does this mean anything?
Well,
guy who has no idea what Instagram is.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine. It's who else did he unfollow? Is that it?
That's it.
Or did he just cut all of his followers and he's not following anybody?
No, just the Penguins.
Yeah, well, to me, and I'm going to put my speculation
welcome
cap
back to camp.
Yeah.
I bet you Tristan Jarry's getting the start in game one.
Yeah, he's now following everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
But why would you not, right? And if that's the deal, be less of a douche, Matt Murray. You got to understand the season you've had. And just because you're not starting, look at the situation in 2017 when he won his last cup. He was on the bench halfway through the third round.
Yep.
He didn't play the first 2.5 rounds.
No.
Part of it due to injury.
Yep.
And then the other part, Fleury was still too hot.
So we can read, like, to me, if he had just unfollowed the team, you'd still be like, that's a little passive aggressive. He's annoyed about the contract. But when you also unfollow all your teammates, like, there's a weird social media etiquette these days, right? Like, you can mute people where they don't know you've muted them, but they still think you're following them. Like, there's a lot of weird things, but when you openly unfollow all of your teammates, there's something there, and I don't know what it is, I don't know what it means, but it means something. Like,
well, I to me, you bingo, bullseye, you hit it. Tristan Jarry, loving life.
Yeah.
Rolling into town saying, hey, check my stats.
Yeah.
Check his stats. What do you want to do? And the fact that Murray,
like, most guys who get traded, they still follow their old buddies. Like, maybe you unfollow the 3 or 4 guys that you didn't really like on the team, but you followed to be a good teammate. But you still follow most of the guys you got along. Like, what are you doing unfollowing everybody? Like, there's a weird thing happening there.
What has, you know, Chris Letang, what's he done in terms of...
No, exactly. Did Jake Guentzel piss you off somehow? Like, and you're taking it out on everybody? Yeah. It's weird, man.
Forget it. I hate you all.
Yeah.
Oh, that seems much.
I just thought it was
better.
I just thought it was. Oh, oof, we've uttered that sentence a time or two on this show. Yeah, I just think it's funny. I just the way you have to monitor social media now as part of what might be happening in the locker room, right? And your goalie unfollowed everybody. Maybe this is an easy segue because the Buffalo Sabres are going to be looking for a new goalie as well as
they've also unfollowed everybody.
Exactly. I don't remember what day it was. I think it was the beginning of this week as we sit here.
Yeah, recording. Monday, I believe. Last Monday.
Yeah. Kim and Terry Pegula, the owners of the Sabres, clean house. Fire general manager Jason Botterill, a bunch of scouts.
Assistant GM Randy Sexton.
Yeah, a bunch of the coaching staff and management around their minor league team. I think all totaled, it was 27 people who lost their jobs. The next day, it would go to 26 because they had fired the IT guy. And the next day, they brought him back, probably in a realization, holy fuck, you don't fire the guy who has our search history. The guy who knows what's on our hard drives. Whether it be industry stuff or personal stuff, let's just get that guy in here. They hire Kevin Adams, a guy who had, I believe, a 12-year NHL career, as kind of a grinder, third-line kind of guy. He was a Leaf for a while, quite liked him in that role. Also a Hurricane.
Won a cup with the Hurricanes?
Yeah. And he becomes their general manager. He's been tight with the Pegulas for something like a decade now.
He's a Western New York guy.
Yeah, and a good business guy, has a good relationship with them. Here's the fucked up thing for me, and there's a ton of meat on the bone here, but they fired the GM, installed Kevin Adams, and then made Kevin Adams fire everybody else. He's the one who had to make the calls to scouts and staff and whatever else. What a cowardly fucking thing to do, right? Like, you clean house, then you bring in the new guy. You don't make the new guy fire all the people you're trying to clear out. That's shit.
Well, to me, first of all, on the IT guy, because what happens here is, like, they let go the minor league, the Rochester staff, which that's been a model AHL franchise for the past couple of years. They've had great results, the scouts. I think the Pegulas just got crazy with the firing. You're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Wait.
Yeah.
Sorry, not you.
Oh, yeah, wait, not you. Yeah.
But I just kept rolling.
Yeah, no, I'm pointing. It's like you're spinning around with a blindfold on and just.
Yeah, there's a Donald Trump, you know, Vince McMahon kind of a thing going
you're
on there.
Fire.
And I'm just pointing with both hands. I don't even know. Down Goes Brown did a piece on Melnick in the Athletic.
Yeah.
About a week or two ago, I don't know. And really, it was a decent article. But in the comments below it, comments.
No, God, stay out of the comments.
to me, the comments, though, with The Athletic are always a serious step above.
Oh, yeah.
What Twitter. You find in a newspaper or on YouTube or any
For
of these
sure.
sorts of things, right? There's people with. There's some with some very reasoned thoughts.
And no, if you're paying for it, you're usually somewhat more invested than just your usual angry douchebag.
So there was somebody under there who said, you know, hey, great article. He said, I've been waiting for someone to do an article on the Pegulas. He said, because really the Pegulas are Mario Lemieux to Melnick's Gretzky. And I thought.
That's fascinating. And I've got not that. But I do have the comparison here in my notes.
And so that's a great analogy, right? And you're like, you know, they're both in the, there's no debate that both those guys are amongst the greatest of all time. You know, you can dispute who's better, but nobody disputes that they are equals
yes,
of their generation.
That's right.
And so to me, yeah, the Melnicks and the Pegulas is
the best ever
thing.
Terrible owners.
Well, and the thing is, Kim and Terry, I think they have the best of intentions, But what they don't know is what they don't know.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that you bring in Tim Murray and...
Well, so since 2011, I think this is going to illustrate your point. Six coaches, four presidents, three general managers, zero playoff appearances.
Yeah. Hey, huge. Take a look there.
Yeah.
See what's happening? Nobody wants to work for you, or nobody can work for you.
So, yeah, these are the Pegulas, not Eugene.
No, I
yeah,
know.
Okay, yeah.
If you run through the number of COOs, CEOs, yes. blah, blah, blah.
But at least
blah.
There's some playoff experience dropped in there. We got the Hammond thing that was fun. We had the conference final run that was, Senators fans are sick of Melnick, but in terms of results, they haven't been quite as putrid as Buffalo.
Yeah, the difference is, and I think if you can draw one line, is... during that decade in Ottawa, there's only been two GMs.
Yes.
So like them or love them, between Brian Murray into Pierre Dorion.
Can we like and love them?
Yep, you certainly can. You certainly can.
One for and different one.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea that you have, as you said, you've just ran through the list. But Tim Murray, you bring him on. He does some good things. I think they still have no goalie. But 3 years, you're fired.
Yeah.
They bring in Botterill and Sexton from Pittsburgh with all that shiny new car smell that comes from a Pittsburgh Cup, right?
Yeah.
And then you go 3 years, no results, you're fired.
You're out of here.
You gotta let it breathe, right? I think they're listening to too many people. There's not enough good intel. And when Kim Pegula is your president, put hockey people in hockey positions.
Well, that's, to me, the most interesting thing that they said. They're sick of the hockey world. They feel like hockey people have led them astray. And I think that meant outside the organization, right? Like suggestions, you should hire this guy and that guy. And they don't feel like that worked. And they said, we are going away from the hockey establishment. So here's our new general manager, 12-year National Hockey League veteran, Kevin Adams. You're like, okay, not really outside the box, but I guess you like this guy. I don't think this is going to be the last team. I think it'll, this is one of the biggest bloodlettings ever in the NHL. Surpassing the year that Shanny came in, watched the Leafs for a half a year, and then fired Nonis and Poulin and literally the entire staff.
Good call.
It really was. And I don't think this is going to be, though, the last time you see NHL teams start to cut back. They're going to use the pandemic as an excuse, but there's going to be a bunch of teams here who legitimately in the next few years have to cut back, and they're going to scout by video, like the Pegulas are saying, and they're going to have slimmed down staffs. And you're like, the thing that Buffalo needs to invest in maybe more than anything is scouting, right? Like, they're not converting guys into NHLers at all, and when they are, they're turning them into like third liners. And like Victor Olofsson is like the only guy outside of the first round, because obviously Dahlin and Eichel and what, like I listed off 6 and 4 and 3 or whatever. Eichel has now seen two coaches and two GMs plus himself in his short tenure, right? So
slide that in,
right? So like there's some problems there, and I don't really blame the Pegulas for wanting to strip it to the bone and start over, but they have no reason to expect the fan base to have any confidence in them right now. Like, I think both of those things can be true. It's time for change, but the fans don't trust you.
See, and the thing is Darcy Regier, so you're going back a couple of GMs ago.
Yeah. Let me get out the list here.
Yeah, he decided he was going to go with the slimmed down scouting staff and do more video scouting and rely on analytics and do these sorts of things. And then you're like, fuck, that didn't work. Let's move along. Let's go back to, they just need to ride with it. Something.
Yeah.
Pick something. And I don't think the place that you want to chintz is in pro and amateur scouting.
No, it's not.
That is the worst case scenario for me.
Yep.
Right? If you only have so many options, man, live through the draft, and be smart about the few trades you do make.
And Terry Pegula did say that. Like, people said, does this mean you don't have faith in the draft? He says, no, I still believe the draft is where we have to make hay if you're going to turn this around. But the moves he made around that statement leave you scratching your head a little, right? So,
well, and what I'm left with in this is the guy who's left, Kevin Jack Adams, but Kruger.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to me, this is a guy who's ran an EPL franchise, Southampton, whatever it was. I can't remember.
It was Hampton.
Anyways, this
Let's
is a guy.
Let's not pretend we're soccer guys.
Well, no, I think anybody who's listening to this show understands
this
we are
might
not
be the first
guys.
Ever soccer reference on this show.
Well, when a hockey guy
yeah,
spends
well, that's
time
it.
Running.
Only because a hockey guy was tied to it.
To me, it has a bit of a, is it a power move? Is there, because at what point do you not, you know, if you're going
to. They did allow him to speak, right? And he said, I signed here to be a coach. That's all I want to be is a coach.
You'll be allowed to speak.
Yeah. But I think.
Come on in.
I think that is part of it. If they believe Kevin Adams is a better business hockey guy, while being an inexperienced GM, that maybe Ralph Kruger will also have some say in that. Now, that almost never works, but people do have a universal respect for Ralph Kruger, so maybe it will, but...
Except for in Edmonton,
who we absolutely respect and admire their opinion.
And the thing is, yeah, in 2020, you can be a coach, you can be a GM, you can't do both.
It's really hard to do both.
And Kruger is going to need to have all hands on deck with that organization in terms of coaching it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a goalie, look around the league, man. If you don't have a goalie, you don't win.
No.
And you are a bad coach. You have a good goalie, you are a good coach. It's just...
Now, they have one coming, that EPL kid out of Sudbury. Lokanen or whatever is the
Lokanen.
L. Lokanen. Lokanen.
Yeah,
we'll stumble over that.
Forever. That's why we just call him EPL.
EPL, for sure, is going to work, man. So he's coming, and you hope that that's going to be the answer. But right now, it's Linus Ullmark, it's Hutton, and they overpaid that guy, too. Man, you mentioned on Twitter, Jeff Skinner ought to be... Helping
Botterill pack
for sure. You made that guy fat in a hurry. He had 14 goals this year when we shut it down.
Yeah.
Terrible. They're a mess, and I don't blame the Pegulas for wanting to go in a completely different direction. I don't blame Sabres fans for not trusting them. Right? Like it's.
I totally blame the Pegulas.
Yeah, oh, I do too. But what are you gonna do? Like, you got to try something to turn it around.
Well, it's like. If you look at, okay, and let's look at, we talked about bad ownership here in Ottawa, and meddling ownership is really what it comes down to, not just bad ownership.
Right.
And the reality is, you can be Jeremy Jacobs and the Jacobs family in Boston. Now, they went 40-plus years in between cups, but they've had success. They went to the cups a couple of times, but cheap, meddling owners.
Yeah.
But people look at it and go, huh, there's been success there. You look at Harold Ballard in Toronto. okay, not seen the same way because they never won, right? You look at the Wurtzes in Chicago.
Yeah.
Same thing. They never won, right? So that's a terrible.
That wasn't until dear old dad passed away and his kid took over and went, we're going to change this, right?
Thumbs up, Rocky.
You're killing it where you were.
Yeah. And you were, well, okay. Kane and Taves says yes.
Yeah,
if you can roll in and draft a Malkin and Crosby, or you can roll in and draft a Kane and Taves in back-to-back years, you're like, this is easy.
We're
this
gonna shit be fine. Yeah,
this shit gets done, right? So it's let hockey people do hockey things. Look at Jerry Jones with the Cowboys.
Oh no,
he's for
do we have well, to?
Okay, but again, there's a billionaire who played football, right?
Yeah,
and you go, I know this shit. I'm going to get heavily involved. And you're like, yeah, but you keep hiring coaches who just do what you say.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing but yes men.
Yeah.
And the Pegulas have shown themselves to be trigger happy just enough.
Well,
that you,
yeah, they've shot big, right? Like they brought in Dan Bylsma, who had a great resume at the time, right? And they gave
how
it a shot.
They give him?
They, but no, you're right. But they also swung for Mike Babcock, right? They tried really hard to get that done. Like, it's not like they're cheaping out and not trying to do
no.
the big things, but they're just missing, right? They're failing. Like,
but you know as well as I know that you have to let them stay the course.
For sure. You got to give it time.
If you believe Botterill, and that nice Pittsburgh combo there, right? You got Bylsma, you got Sexton and Botterill, right? But I don't have Crosby and Malkin.
No, that's a key part of the equation.
Yes.
I think I can do this without them.
No, you can't. Okay, but if you believe that Sexton and Botterill are gonna
I thought Sexton, to be honest with you, I thought Sexton was an Ottawa guy who came in with Tim Murray. Am I thinking of a different Sexton?
No. His son.
Okay. Randy Sexton?
Randy's the dad.
Okay.
But Randy was an original Ottawa Senator.
Okay.
He was either the GM or he was the assistant GM of the original Ottawa Senators.
Right, okay.
But he won cups in 16 and 17 with the Penguins.
Okay.
As the assistant.
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, he was an assistant as well. He and Botterill came together
right
to Buffalo from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So it's if you believe those people are good hockey people and you believe in Bylsma or you believe in Ralph Kruger. Yeah, then let it run the course, man. If you need to if you're not happy with your middle stats and whatever else that are coming along, you change the drafting, you change your scouting, but you got to leave hockey people in place to let their shit take hold.
Well, this was another year where Jack Eichel finished 30 points ahead of the next highest scoring forward on his, like, I think they're panicked.
But are we going to bring in more of Jack's, you know, university roommates or teammates?
I'd be terrified that guy's going to leave. We talked about this no more than a year ago when Edmonton missed it again with Connor. How long until he goes, fuck this, right?
Yeah, leave where, though?
Leave Buffalo.
In what?
You just demand a trade. You know when you're that type of guy, once you give up and just say, trade me, you leave them no choice. And I think
because he wasn't shrewd enough to do the Austin Matthews thing and only sign for 5 years.
Right. Well, that's a whole other discussion, but you can demand a trade, right? You can still say, oh, fuck you, I'm out of here. And there was that talk last summer, how long before Connor says that to Edmonton? And they turn around, they have a good year this year, they bring in a really good coach, which to me mattered more than almost any other change they made. But at the deadline, I liked the moves they made with Afanasiu and Ennis and stuff like that. But at some point, you worry that guy just says, fuck you, I'm out of here. And so you got to pander a little bit.
Let's just freeze this conversation for 1 second. And let's compare and contrast Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel. Which one of those two guys...
Oh, come on. Are you about to say which one of those guys would you rather have?
Nope.
Okay.
No, because to me, even you're going to choose the right guy.
Oh, even you.
I'm suggesting...
Don't worry, man. The show always gets edited to make me look smart.
Yes.
So don't worry, man.
I'm not worried. I'm totally good with it. What I'm suggesting is, which one of those guys is more likely to hold out and demand a trade?
Of course it's Jack Eichel. But don't act like that wasn't a conversation that last summer around Connor.
I don't believe that's ever happening.
No.
Okay, yeah.
How long can they be pathetic before he goes, ugh. Not come out in the media like Jack does. Not have his little passive-aggressive moments like Jack does, but quietly says to his agent, you need to make something happen here. Whether it was realistic or not, we heard a lot about it last summer.
Yeah, I'm not saying you didn't hear about it. I'm just saying, what's the reality going to be? And now, is that part of the reason that the changes were made?
Oh, I assume.
Of course, man.
Yeah.
You have to, but to me... Connor is that prototypical, aw shucks, Canadian hockey
keep
player.
Keep my head down, just be quiet and whatever. But
I'm just going to keep working.
But I don't blame Eichel for being pissed, man. You've given me nothing for, man. Like every year that every year that Jeff Skinner has hit 30 goals, he's had like 17 assists. So you can't really play him with Eichel because you're not helping. Like, they both want to shoot it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can't put two shooters together.
Right. So that wasn't a good fit. And I think you and I both, I know I did, I'm sure you were the same, panned that fucking Skinner signing the minute it happened in terms of its length and its cash and its whatever. Terrible. I don't blame Eichel for being frustrated. I don't love the way he handles it. He's got his reputation for being the GM for a reason. But if I'm him, this sucks, right? Like, how long do you expect me to just sit around and put up with your shit?
Yeah, see, but last year was the first year that he came out and his play and his performance matched his second overall standing to McDavid, right?
Like, yeah.
This was the first year that he sort of staked his claim as, yeah.
He was legit. A hard trophy candidate this season.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's no doubt about the 2019-2020 season Jack Eichel's had.
Yeah.
Up until that, it was still just hints and kisses of superstar status and promise, right? You know what? You look like a bit of a douche if you're still just bitching and moaning all the time. And now's the time to let the Pegulas step back, put hockey people in place, and let them make their changes and let them take hold. It's very simple. Very simple.
I guess, and I don't know that I disagree. I do know if that's what you're planning to do now, and I don't think it is. I think they're always going to be an ownership that's involved. But if you're planning to let someone do this for a while, you have hired a completely inexperienced general manager, and now you're going to let him. Maybe it'll be fine, right? Like, everybody needs to start somewhere, but.
Well, and I think the one thing, the thing that Kevin Adams has going for him, and as you said,
great shot blocker.
We've touched on Western New York guy.
Yeah.
He's spent a pile of time in the community, dealing with the public and the corporate side in the area, which is where it's most damaged. But this will not help them where they need it most, right? Buffalo has diehard hockey fans.
Every year, Stanley Cup final, they're like the number three market in terms of people watching behind the two markets who are in it. Buffalo has fans that want to be engaged, want to follow it. They are diehard.
You put good product on the ice, right? That's all that market is crying out for.
For sure.
Right? And so Kevin Adams, I don't know you, but you're set up to fail. You're set up to fail as a first-time guy who does not have a scouting background.
Right.
Right? Who has he negotiated contracts? I'm not sure what's going to happen there, right? In terms of, to me, it's if you're looking for somebody to do a PR move, who's looking to win over the corporate citizens of Buffalo, New York, and the fans, put him in a different role, man. Put him in a different role.
Did you see, just as the last thing on this, at their practice arena, they thawed the ice when everything shut down, walked out, locked the door behind them, and then when someone went back to see how it went, all the moisture and everything, the way that it completely warped the fucking boards. They were irreparable and have to be pulled out and replaced. Whatever.
That's an Ottawa move, baby.
Fuck,
right, man, there.
So Sabres, right? Like, Jesus Christ. Man.
Who did we leave in charge of that? Oh, wait. It was Sexton.
Someone we fired, no doubt. Right?
This is it. You're fired. Wait. Yeah, no,
Sabres.
When shit goes bad for you, it just goes bad, right? You're just like, sorry about that.
Let's move.
Just for the before we move on.
Yeah,
I've now cracked the.
I heard.
It's the Down by the River from Stalwart. It's back to the American Wheat Ale.
I did this last time.
Yeah, if you like, and you talked about it being a very sweaty 32 degrees.
It's fucking gross, man.
This is the beer for you. You will not find a sunny, warm day beer.
Call right now. This is your beer.
It is. It honestly, it is. It's refreshing. It's crisp. Do it, man. Do it. Stalwart down by the river, American Wheat Ale.
I'm sticking with the blonde here from Ridge Rock as we move into our next segment. Should we call it that?
Yeah, let's do it.
The Blue Jays, Major League Baseball, all kinds of mess. Most of it surrounding COVID-19.
Matt, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I tweeted out last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't know. Have you ever seen a bad 30 for 30? Right? Is there such a thing as a bad 30 for 30? I've seen it now.
Was
I watched
it the hot
the
summer?
Long gone summer?
Oh, shit. See, I haven't seen it, but that was one that I was interested in. I have not watched it yet.
Okay.
It's no good, eh?
Because
you're not the only one who said that. I've seen that it's like different tweets, different headlines. The first ever bad 30 for 30. Or...
Okay. Yeah. All right. And so the thing I'm left with is, why is Sammy Sosa's skin so light? That's the one question I'm left with. Buddy looks uncomfortably Caucasian, which
we all are these days.
Well, for sure. Yes, Matt. I want to take the assist on that. Thanks.
Perfectly teed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. To me, the beauty of 30 for 30 is they take subjects that you know something about.
Yeah.
And they flesh it out. To me, there's nothing new from this, right?
Okay.
I didn't. Now, granted, the guy, and his name escapes me, who directed it, said, yeah, I loved it. And I wanted to take people back to that summer to remember how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's been wrapped up, obviously, in the whole... steroid era.
Steroid era for sure. And then Sammy's corked bat. And like both of them just, oh, fuck, this sucks, right?
Yeah.
And the guy who breaks their record is an equally big douchebag.
Honestly,
it's still 61, man. It's Maris and 61.
Yeah. And that is the thing with the two things. Now, McGuire, fairly forthright in it.
All right.
But yeah, I didn't learn anything new from it.
Okay.
And they just, the last 10 minutes, they talked about the steroids and the andro and...
Oh, by the way, needles in the ass. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, well, and McGuire does say, yeah, you know what? It's I took it initially...
Androstenedione.
Androstenedione, exactly, Matt.
Yep.
Yeah, to recover from injuries. Ankle, foot-related injuries he had, and it just went from there. And he said, yeah, I still suffer from it to this day and regret it, my decisions. But that's as in-depth as he wanted to go with it.
Sure.
But to me, it was, and I remember it, man. Yeah, I'm sure you all, you know, as a...
Yeah, yeah.
As a young guy, lived through that. And
no matter what you were watching on, like, Sportsnet or TSN at the time in 90, it was 98, I believe.
98, yep.
Yeah. They would be like, we're going to cut away and take you to... Mark McGuire's at bat, right? Like, or whoever it was, we're going to go and watch that for the next, and then back to regular programming. It was wild.
So to me, it's just, I was left with, yeah, okay. It's not, I'd watch it if I were you,
yeah.
Right? Just to sort of relive the moment. And you forget about how fantastical it was, right? That number of 61.
Yeah.
And how hard it is to hit that many home runs.
Yeah.
Right, and what those two guys did, and you forget about Griff.
Yeah, Griff hung with them right till like 50, and
yeah.
Then fell back.
Exactly,
is my recollection. And, I haven't seen
yeah.
anything, but
well, it was a three-way race.
Yeah,
right? And originally it was supposed to be all the hype was McGuire and Griffey,
yes.
McGuire and Griffey, and then Sosa hit 20 homers or 24 homers in the month of June.
Like, I'm here, guys. Count me in.
What? Hey, and if I heard that once, I heard it 50 times in the episode. Hey, don't forget about me.
Right, okay.
Don't forget about me. That's Sammy's big thing, right? And it's interesting. I heard on...
Until we're at Congress. Please forget
yeah,
about me and that I don't
yeah,
speak English.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you talking about me? Why? Because I'm a black man. That's
yeah,
why.
Of course.
You're like, oof, sorry about that. Next. listening to one of Sammy's teammates. And again, whether it was the last dance and the number of people who came out and wanted to roast Jordan for
yeah.
for whatever, right? It's after that 30 for 30, and I can't remember, he's a relief pitcher for the Cubs, and he's like, yeah, Sammy, we could lose 20-1, and if Sammy hit a homer,
he was pumped. He was good.
He'd be pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
well, we all have, like, known those guys.
Yeah. He's like, I don't got any time for that. So, and there's apparently a reason why Sammy hasn't been back to Wrigley in 10 years.
Okay.
Okay. So, sorry, that was just my,
yeah,
as you wanted to
film review.
Segue into baseball, I wanted to give you my, I wanted to give you my thoughts, Matt.
I know you do. The Blue Jays and the rest of Major League Baseball, and I want to be careful here, we're going to cover a bunch of stuff in this area. My understanding from Bob Nightingale said that the MLBPA may vote on Sunday evening as to whether or not they are prepared to take MLB's 60-game offer or reject it, let the commissioner implement his 50-game thing, and then grieve it later. And they're expecting, honestly, that could go either way. So this may be out of date quick. That's the main reason I want to focus on the Blue Jays here. What has happened...
But wait, before you get into that...
Yeah. And I watched a rerun of the Flintstones.
No. Hey.
You should.
Say that again.
A rerun of the Flintstones?
It's actually, Matt, the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Not Flintstones.
No.
Flintstones.
All right. Well, I hope that was worthwhile to bog us down on.
No. It really was. Yeah, you slurring through Flintstones. It comes down to you with your taking a shot at me on Twitter with the whole owner side.
It was way more fun before you were on Twitter.
Yeah, I totally get it, man. I totally get it.
Are you going to back down from the fact that you were staunchly pro-owner the last time we talked about this?
No, okay. I absolutely will not back down from that. In most labor negotiations, yeah, I am pro-ownership, to be honest with you.
That's so weird to me. Choosing the billionaires over the millionaires. It's so strange.
Short of the NFL, which is just the billionaires fucking hosing people with non-guaranteed contracts, and the NFL needs a better union.
Yep.
Period. Blank. Full stop.
For sure.
But yeah, this, and all I was trying to say to you on Twitter, and the good listener, I'm talking to you, Jim Bach, thank you very much for your contributions.
Love that guy.
Yeah, good guy there. Is as this thing becomes more and more fluid, and I'm going to be honest with you, there's no reason, short of the ownership's greed, post-March signing of their agreement, that baseball shouldn't be playing, right? If you're looking at the time frame, baseball should long be the first sport to be up and running, right? But the greed is fucking stupendous. And if I can cite good local guy here, Eric Macromella, right, who does, sport and law, listening to his show, and he talked about it, and it was enlightening, the fact that you can sign a contract, which is what the owners did, saying, yeah, you'll be paid, you know, full salary, prorated over the number of days, blah, 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 whatever the number of games
is going to be. A day's pay for a day's work.
And then the owners find out, and they decide, we can't have fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Like, oh wait, now I don't want to pay you because now I'm going to be out those, and we'll just ballpark at 30,000 seats across MLB, right? And I still say to him, yeah, well, they're on the hook, but the reality is, and the point that Eric Macromella made it and illuminated my thought processes was, yeah, I'm running the business, and that's fine. But this is what we're putting on the field, and that's your business to run. You are now on the hook for that, and to me that makes a lot of sense.
Well, so just to kind of bring everybody who hasn't followed this, and God love you because it's been a pain in the ass to follow. The battle between the players and the owners has been
that the players wanted prorated salary. Like you say, if we're going to play 30% of the season, I want 30% of my pay. The owners initially said, yeah, we can probably get that done. And then they were like, oh, shit, there's no chance of us having any fans at all at any point this season. That totally changes the finances. We want to pay you substantially less than that. And the player said, no, a day's pay for a day's work. So the owner's response was, well, then fine, we're just not going to play very many games. Let's go 50 games, we'll pay you that instead of 60 or 70 or at the time 90 or whatever you could have gotten done. We'll just make sure that there aren't that many games to play, and then we can afford to pay you what we want.
Yeah, and, so, and this is all...
Well, just to finish that up, the players still said that was bullshit, and then initially, so this is maybe 2 weeks ago now, the players come out and say, fine, obviously we can't negotiate with you, just tell us when to show up and where. So they're willing to take the prorated thing, and they have left the owners plenty of time. At that point, there's probably time for 70 games. The owners then go, nah, you know, we'll have to talk about it. We'll see. Maybe we can negotiate some more. And that's for two reasons. One is, if they implement the season and just tell the players where to go, they're open for a legal grievance. So all their proposals after that come with, also, you can't sue us for not doing whatever. The other reason is, we have to slow this down. They did not count on the players saying quite so early, just tell us where the fuck to show up, because that left plenty of time for 65 or 70 or 75 games.
Or 80 games.
Right, which the owners didn't want to pay for. They wanted 50 games at max at, you know, one day for one day's pay, right? So that's the problem here, is the owners have made it crystal clear from day one, we're going to pay this much money, whether we do it over 90 games at a reduced day's pay or 50 games at a full day's pay. We're not paying more than this. And that's why the players have been so pissed. And rightfully so, in my mind. Your bosses are fucking you.
Yeah. So this is where my opinion changes, right? From my initial statement.
Right.
Where you go, at that point, I'm still thinking there's going to be a 100-game season.
Right.
There's going to be an 81-game season, right? Which, to me, is legitimate. Yeah. They've fucked and frittered away
intentionally
all this time
for the ownership.
Of course. Yeah. And but this is when my initial statement was made, I'm still thinking you're going to get in 60% of a season, 50% of a season,
right?
If you get down to running 28% of a season, it's bullshit, man. It's garbage.
Well, let me hit you with this, because this is interesting to me. If they had only played 60 games last year, the Texas Rangers, the god-awful Texas Rangers, make the playoffs under what's being proposed this season. You know who doesn't?
The Washington Nationals.
The World Series champion, Washington Nationals, would not have made the playoffs last year if they only played 60 games. Forget winning the World Series. They don't make the fucking playoffs.
Yeah.
So, it changes everything. Baseball, like, we've done this a couple of times. Last year, I think when we went down to, you know, maybe it was 2 years ago, whatever, we went down to Brantford and the Jays had won like 7-9. You're like, yeah, look at these fucking guys. Like, oh, shit, they're still going to finish last in the division because it's 162 games long. Everyone has a great 20-game stretch.
Yeah, or a couple of them.
Yeah.
And as I said to you, would you be happy if the NHL came back and played a 24-game regular season?
Right now, yeah, kind of.
Well, no, because they've played 85% of their
schedule.
Yeah.
No, I know.
I'm saying if they started up again and went, yeah, we're going to play 24 games and then go into playoffs.
Right.
You'd be like,
no,
that's
the asterisk
farcical.
Is going to be gigantic, right? Like, instead of painting names on the cup, it's just one giant asterisk.
You can't see shit. Yeah, you see a little bit of name sticking out from each side of the asterisk because it's covered the whole thing.
Right.
And so it's garbage. And so to me, it's like anything else. You want the television money.
Yep.
And during this conversation, from that initial statement, is where I have switched totally over that the owners, are not dealing in good faith.
Fair enough. Let's move to the Blue Jays specifically, because in the last 72 hours, mainly on Friday, and this is probably going to see a shift into talking about a few different sports, We saw some flare-ups. The Phillies had players and staff test positive in Clearwater, which is not far from Tampa, where the Tampa Bay Lightning saw players and some staff test positive. The Blue Jays in Dunedin had had, which is also very close to Tampa and Clearwater, they had had one player who had been training with some of the Philly players, is my understanding, and so he had symptoms but hadn't yet tested positive. So they also shut down their entire facility to make sure that it did not go any further. With that big flare-up on Thursday and Friday, everyone in MLB has decided we're moving spring training to our home facilities. Because normally, as baseball fans know, spring training is housed in Arizona and in Florida. And shit is on fire in Florida and Arizona with record cases of COVID. The problem that that leaves the Blue Jays with is that they can't come across the border without a 14-day quarantine for, you know, it's bad enough in the NHL, but at least they're like half your guys are Canadian and are probably already in the GTA. None of the Jays are in the GTA. So they were going to, even when the season was being discussed, they were probably going to play their home games at their spring training facility in Dunedin. They were pressing hard to get to Toronto to make it work to the point where Jays president Mark Shapiro is now listed as a federal lobbyist so that he can speak to the Canadian government more easily. But it's a mess, man. And they want out of Florida. They can't get into Toronto. And Buffalo, apparently, because like that's where their AAA team is, they weren't expecting to play at all this year. They're not set up. So the Blue Jays are essentially fucking homeless right now, man.
Well, and there's a bunch of things going on here.
For sure.
Who thought it would be a great idea? See, I see the Mets and the Yankees both have said, the last article I was reading was them saying they want to bring spring training to New York. And you go, up until recently, that was the absolute epicenter in North America for COVID-19.
Well, I said that on Twitter, right? Like, how bad is it when New York City is now better than Florida? Yeah.
And so you're looking at those two teams going, that shit that's happening in Florida is crazy. Let's bring it here.
Honestly.
And you're like, oh my God, that is that. Now, I see late last week, 4,000 new cases a day.
Yep.
Right. In terms of Florida
and rising.
And you sort of put out the Buffalo as an option saying, hey, what about this? And I'm even going further and saying, hey, University of Wisconsin, what's up?
Yep.
Can you get in there? Grand Forks, what's going on in there?
Almost anywhere on the East Coast. Honestly, the East Coast sort of has it under control. Like, it's not great, but
Northern Eastern Coast.
So could you get into, I don't even know which of these places have top-end baseball. Could you get to the University of Boston or something, right? Like, Wisconsin, you're now out of your division. Like, if this is going to be your home, sure. But again, my thought was fucking Moose Jaw. But who wants you?
Okay, that's what I said. Yeah. What about, hey, Saskatoon?
Right. But do they want you?
No.
Coming from Florida.
No, they do.
We
not.
Have this under control. We don't want your ass coming in here. Well, and not just for a camp. What does this mean long term? Is that your home for the year?
Good Western correspondent Dean Kozak retweeted something that said, whether it was a comedian, I don't know who the original tweet came from. He said, but Canadians must feel like they're renting an apartment above a meth lab.
Yes. And that the original tweeter was an American.
Of course it was. and you're like, yes, exactly. Like, that shit's going to blow up at any time. And you know it's true.
Yeah.
And you had sent me a text, you know, on it was last night or the night before, saying, JT, keep your shit tight and keep the border.
Slam that door shut, man. Like,
because I understand the economics at a very surface level that it's hurting to have this major border closed. But the reality is any gains in terms of stomping the curve that we've had here is completely and totally jeopardized by having the border open and having a free flow of these people who want their hair dyed and whatever else you want to do.
Right? Well, you and I talked about this when they were talking about NHL hub cities. Don't mean shit to me to have one in Canada. Keep it all down there if that's what you got to do, right?
And let's be honest about this. You're talking about a hub city. You're talking about putting a team, a hub in Vegas, where Nevada is also spiking.
Yeah.
And then you go, let's go to, if we're going to do Canada, which we'd like to have one in,
sure,
you know, both.
It's symbolic.
Let's go to Toronto. What, Montreal's not available? You can't pick one of the two worst provinces in this country?
I agree with that. Honestly, I do. But it's better than it was. And this is why they haven't named them yet. Now, everything we have heard is that we will have an announcement this week on the hubs, and that with how things are going in the U.S., you may end up with two Canadian hubs, and they would probably be Vancouver and Edmonton. Toronto is a league office. It's Sportsnet's office. It's all the rinks and so on. And it's been much better. And you are seeing medical doctors saying, as opposed to non-medical doctors, saying it's not a big deal. If you're going to enforce the bubble as well as they say they are, and Dr. Bonnie, who we're all praising in BC, has said, if you can enforce what you have proposed here, it's fine. Right, it is isolated, it's fine. You could do it in Toronto. But what, you don't have to, right? Like, you could easily do this. Like, you screamed out a few minutes ago for North Dakota for baseball or Wisconsin. I'm going to the University of North Dakota for the NHL hub, right? Like, if you got to have one in the U.S. Vegas stinks because it's too tempting. Like, in Edmonton, in the West Coast, you're going to hate me for saying this. Go to Edmonton because it's boring as shit. And the players might stay in their hotel.
Well, and you can get a golf course there, and you can do...
But if you bubble in Vegas, and you know down the hall the casino is open, and the Rippers are open, and the whatever, you're... Fuck that. I'm not staying in my room.
Yeah. Okay, and at the risk of being non-PC, when you look at the NBA proposing Orlando...
Sounded like a great idea a week and a half ago.
Okay, well, yeah. So if we can lose the COVID-19 hotspot, that is Florida.
Right.
They had a great proposal going on there.
Yes, they absolutely did.
In terms of the things that were going to be available to you there, right? They were going to have, you know, all kinds of recreational, the movie theaters, the, you know.
Couple golf courses. You were going to have a bunch of.
Access to the rides, to the amusement parks, right? And so the one thing they didn't have is, and again, anybody who's been to an Olympics or a Paralympics understands what they're proposing, short of the golf course, is very similar to what you find
it's
in the
village,
international
right?
zone in the village. And so you want to have opportunities for athletes to blow off steam.
Yeah.
What you also have in Olympic villages is them going through public health, going through 300,000 condoms during...
Okay. At the Olympics, there are also women.
Okay. For sure, man. But what I'm suggesting
to you
is...
I'm not sure what you're
is,
suggesting the Sacramento Queens are about to do, but...
Yeah, what I'm suggesting to you is that... Is that, yes,
Let
is
me
that
off the hook.
You have, athletes, period, Olympic, NBA, NHL... you have young, fit people who like to get it on.
Of course.
Like, and so you have to understand, what are these people going to do? You're going to lock these people down? And some of them are married. God bless you. You're going to hang out in your room. You're going to
Well, apparently, after round one, once you clear out half the riffraff, they'll let you bring some family in.
But the young guys, what are you going
to... Yeah, like, no, and that's it. Are you going to stay pinned down for 3 months with just men around you? It's Shawshank, man.
Like, it ain't happening, man. And that's all I'm saying is whether it's
so that's
NBA
my point.
Or NHL
get out of
is,
Vegas, get to Edmonton, right? Like, whatever you got to do, don't be places that are fun. So, I mean, we're sort of circling around this now anyway. MLB had their breakout and what all of that is going to mean. We did see, you know, a college football explosion. We saw some names across the NHL. I mentioned the Tampa Bay Lightning. It would be fascinating to see that the Lightning be eliminated this early again, this time because of an outbreak. I wonder what you think of all of this. There was a pile of uproar, but I don't know if that much has changed for me, at least not for the NHL and the NBA. Their goal has always been get to the bubble. And, you know, there was 11 cases out of 200 tests, and that's not insignificant. But we've been seeing NHL players test positive since this happened. Some Avalanche had it happen. Some Senators had it happen. Like, it doesn't look great, obviously, now that we're actually doing that, but it's not new. Like, to me, it was just because it became so public over the last few days. To me, not that much has changed.
Yeah, well, it is one of those things where once you start to fire this up, right, and get everybody tested and get them where they're going,
it's just get, like, all they want to do is get to the bubble, right? Like, this was inevitable.
Yep.
You were going to have positive tests. The general public's testing positive. Why wouldn't professional athletes?
Yeah, well, and as you suggested, we are dealing with two separate things here, right, in terms of what's happening in Canada versus what's happening to the south of us. And so...
the meth lab.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That get to...
Like, I got time for people who say, this is a terrible idea, you shouldn't be doing it. That's fine. I have time for that. Like, we can shut it down. But to me, nothing changed on Thursday or Friday in that regard. Like, we were always headed down this road.
Right. You're talking about the sheer panic that comes from...
Oh, my God. Three athletes here and two over here. And, you know, like...
One over here and... Yeah.
Have you seen the fucking numbers in those areas? Of course. Right? Like, Like, honestly, I've got time for the discussion that it's too soon and we shouldn't be doing this. But if you're one of those people out there saying that let's shut it down and just try this straight in the fall, you're fooling yourself. We won't have a vaccine in the fall. We're talking about a potential second wave in the fall, and we're adding more teams and more travel because you're not going to do a 31-team NHL bubble for 8 months starting in the fall. So if this isn't going to work, you need to get over the fact that we'll start again in the fall because that's not happening either. And like I said, I'm fine with the thought process, don't do this, let's shut it down, but that means you're shutting it down for the foreseeable future. And to me, nothing that happened this week changed anything. This was inevitable. Right. We were going to see guys test positive.
And we are so much smarter or aware of what's happening than we were 3 months ago.
Of course.
Right? In terms of, at the beginning, it was this absolute invisible killer.
Yeah.
Right? That, you know, it could be anywhere, right? The paranoia that strikes from that. And, and as I said, I was cleaning doors and light switches and cover
for
handles
sure, man.
Every week, right? With
I was just talking a week or so ago with my old man, and happy Father's Day to him, by the way. It's the world feels dirty when you go out in it, right? Like, it just feels different. Like,
well, it is dirty.
Yeah,
Matt. That's the thing. I've taken to kicking light. You know, you walk up to an intersection, you press the crosswalk button.
Right.
I'm taking to kicking those now, right?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely not anymore, but it's not my hand touching.
Right. Well, no, and like, I'm 6'3", I for as long as I can remember, when I go into a mall or whatever, I reach up, and I pick this up from your brother, who I watched do it way back, and grab like the top of the door, where in theory, even if no one else has touched it, way less people have touched it, right? That's where I pull the door open from, right?
Yeah, my 6'5 older brother, who's gone into every public washroom ever by using his fingertips to grab the top of the door and go...
Yep, and that's what I'm saying, yeah. Usually in his sandals, which leaves him open to all kinds of things. Go back in the archives. But it's... the world. It just feels different, man. The world feels dirty, and I don't object to the idea that it's too soon and we should shut this down, but get past the idea that if you do that, you're starting in October.
Yeah, and as you've referenced, right, Dr. Fauci, who is probably the only American worth listening to right at this moment, Or the only one with any sense.
Him and Dolly Parton. She's weirdly involved in all this. All kinds of charity stuff. And
love Dolly.
Who doesn't, man?
Again, go back in the archives.
Yeah, for sure.
It comes down to the awareness of it, right? Is as we struggle with return to play at all levels of sport, right? You have to make some sacrifices, but at the end of the day, don't put your fingers in your mouth, nose, or eyes. Wash your hands regularly and social distance to the best of your ability. That's it.
Yeah. And they're just trying to get everybody, the NBA and the NHL, they're just trying to get everyone to the bubble. And if you test positive at the door, you won't be allowed in. You'll go home or you'll go to a hotel or whatever and you'll isolate.
In a hotel.
And then you'll come in. That's the plan. So you were fooling yourself if you thought that no pro athletes out there were testing positive. And
fooling.
Well, I guess somewhat relatedly, since we're dancing around it, look, we're not going to be over the top here, but at the same time, there's no sense dancing around it. On Friday, Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun puts out a post that says that Austin Matthews is one of the players who has tested positive. I have a ton of respect for a lot of the hockey media who has chosen not to run with that because, as we referenced a few minutes ago, countless players, not countless, I make that sound to it, but plenty of players have tested positive since this became a thing. And none of their names got out there, except for one, and that was through his agent, and he was willing to allow that to happen. It went through the right channels. Steve Simmons' piece in The Sun has unidentified sources. It doesn't come through Austin Matthews. It does not come through his agent, and it doesn't come through the team. It's interesting to me, I guess, on a few different fronts. The Leafs put out a release almost immediately afterwards that says, we will not comment, as per league policy, on individual players that have tested positive, but we will follow all of the league's guidelines should any of our players essentially test positive. Steve Simmons immediately jumps on TSN radio to talk about this. He's on with Brian Hayes and Dave Festchuk. Festchuk has his own checkered past with the Leafs. Enjoys phoning players' mothers looking for scoops and weird shit like that. He's also the guy on the backside of the camera that you don't get to see in one of Phil's best clips in Toronto where he answers a couple questions and then walks away going, this guy's an idiot, right? And now TSN has pulled that clip down like it never happened. Sportsnet, at the same time, on the Fan 590, the Toronto sports radio station run by Rogers, on their every 20 minutes updates, and on Tim and Sid, who are on the air at the time that it happens, do make reference once or twice to allegedly a Toronto Maple Leafs player has tested positive, but they do not mention his name. TSN has not mentioned his name since The Athletic hasn't mentioned his name. The Star hasn't mentioned his name. It's just Steve Simmons and The Sun as a part of Post Media. I don't know, man. There's some weird stuff going on here in terms of celebrity news is public news, but at the same time, this is health-related, and you don't have the right to report on that. There's also some people speculating on an American law that says you are an American in America with a medical condition, despite where your employer might be based, and your employer is not allowed to publicly release your condition, and his employer happens to also own TSN and Sportsnet. Are they worried legally? To me, I think Steve Simmons is a jackass, and Steve Simmons is also the only reporter in Canada who went ahead with Brian Murray has cancer, while all the other reporters stayed silent until Brian Murray was ready to address that himself. Steve Simmons also has a checkered past on a few other things. I get it. He's a superstar on the league's biggest market, but I'm against him, man. I got a real problem with his name coming out. I'm tied to that team. I'm curious what you thought of the whole thing.
Yeah, all the points you've made are valid. The problem is, as you've suggested, he is the biggest name on the team in the biggest,
yep,
most hockey mad market, and that is part of the Leaf Nation quest for all and every bit of information.
Leafs Nation, as far as I can tell, is pissed.
Yeah, because it's Steve Simmons.
Yeah, well, that's fair, man.
I think post media, Sun columnists across the board, I think are usually looked at as, in my opinion, I'm trying to think now.
TMZ-ish.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, are we going to have any on?
No, fuck that. We're throwing it down, man.
Yeah, you know, in Ottawa here, you have Gary Aucken-Brennan.
Camping out outside Eric Carlson's wedding, uninvited.
That's Donnie.
Yep.
You have, no, Chris Hoffley talked about Donnie on his his brief step in with Tall Can. Yeah, the idea that this is a product of the desire of the fan base to know all. And to me, Toronto is no different than the other seven hockey mad markets in this country. They happen to be, and they take great pride in it.
Yep.
To be the biggest.
Yep.
And the most hockey. Well, Habs fans will tell you they're the most savvy, but
yep,
winning doesn't make you savvy.
It does not.
No, it does not. And so.
Otherwise, yeah, I'd have no idea what's happening around me.
Yes. So this is, and some would say you don't. That's nice that you would.
I'm teeing you up, man. Yes. Returning the favor.
Yeah. So to me, this is more about Steve Simmons than it is about Austin Matthews.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that Steve Simmons had this ahead of Chris Johnston, Elliot Friedman, Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger, Pierre McGuire, and he's just that, or Pierre McGuire, Pierre LeBrun.
LeBrun.
He's that much more tapped in. Or had those guys heard it and went, yeah, no, we've all obviously chosen not to report on this. I'm not reporting on this.
No. I absolutely do not believe that he had it first.
Right.
It's just, as we said, the Sun is the one that's willing to go with that. Info be damned. And really, I looked at it, and just before coming on this evening, I was looking at, and so Mike Tracos. Tracos?
Yep.
Also a Sun guy.
Yep.
And he's saying, as originally broke by Steve Simmons, and he said, to me, I have more issue with what he's saying. I'm not sure if you saw that article at all.
I did not.
Where he's saying, it's not Austin Watson. It's not Zach Austin Reese. It's not some no-name player. It's a Rocket Richard trophy candidate.
And what does that matter?
Well, okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not some nobody. Like, wait, if I'm Zach Austin Reese or I'm Austin Watson, I'm like, fuck you, Mike Tracos. Like, what? What's your
even
deal?
As a Leaf, right? Like, if the GOAT gets it, and you're like, well, we don't have to report that because it's just the GOAT. But it's Austin Matthews. Fuck you. Why is one guy's privacy worth more than the other?
And it's worth noting that there was two or three senators, maybe four.
Chase Horlock, he allowed his to go public through his agent.
Okay, I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, once he was back home, he wanted... Because there's some stigma to it, right? And a lot of guys are trying to get... It's not weakness. It's not whatever. It's a fucking thing that's floating around. It doesn't make you...
Yeah.
And so his thing was, if an NHL player can get it, you know, and good on him for stepping up. But not everybody has made that decision. And the thing that Steve Simmons keeps comparing to is Zeke Elliott.
in the NFL. But again, that came through his agent, and they were okay with releasing it. Austin Matthews and his agent did not say, go ahead, Steve Simmons, of all people, and release it.
It was only Zaitsev was the only guy, and that came through Russian media.
Yeah.
It wasn't... Well, and they're
clearly above the board.
Yes. Like everything over there.
For sure.
So, to me, I don't have any... to me, it's not a huge deal. But, to me, that is a real symptom of the greater issue, which is, we want to know everything.
Well, and he doubled down later. There was a second tweet said, it's been reported. It's been confirmed. I don't know why other Toronto media aren't talking about this. And of course, there's 1,000 comments underneath that all say essentially because the rest of the Toronto media has more class than you. And again, it's been confirmed by you and your nameless sources.
NHL sources, it said.
Yeah. And when he came on TSN, and again, I got a ton more credit for Sportsnet and the way they handled it, going, we don't know, and we're not going to, they refused to use a name, even though it was clearly out there. He comes on TSN radio, and Brian Hayes and Dave Festchuk, that he comes on with, both say, I'd heard rumblings that Matthews was the guy. Like, you had obviously decided not to report that. And Brian Hayes is a talk radio host. He's not really a reporter, but he could do it if he wanted. Festchuk is a reporter and had chosen not to do it. Now Steve Simmons comes on, and they're both like, we'd heard that. You're like, well, then clearly, at some point, your better senses had said, I don't want to do this. But once someone else has done it, let's capitalize on it. And well, now TSN's like, fuck that, and they've deleted it from their website.
Once it's out there though, right? And you can then point to Sun Media and say that's totally on them.
And even if you want to look at the Bell, TSN, and the Rogers Sportsnet connection and say as their employers and what's good for the league and what's good for the Leafs and whatever, the Athletic's not talking about it, the Star's not talking about it, the Globe's not talking about it. To me, at some point, if Steve Simmons is the only guy talking about it, there's a reason for that, right? Everyone else has decided we've heard names and they're irrelevant. Numbers are fair. Names, let's not bother. And to me, that's my biggest beef with this thing is, well, it's a big name, so it's worth it. Fuck you, right? Like, if it was Kyle Clifford, this is probably not happening.
Hey, man, it's the age of first to break it. And you worry about the perception after that. And you're like, as originally reported by blank blank.
Yeah, but that's bullshit too. Nothing makes me more crazy on Twitter than Ken Rosenthal tweeting about a trade and be like, by the way, so-and-so had it first. You're like, I don't fucking care. That's your code. Nobody out here cares. Like,
yeah, but so there you go. But that's one of those things is I don't care what it is. I want to be the first.
Well,
I'll take the slings and arrows afterwards.
But how many guys passed on that first? That's what I'm saying.
So to me, it still comes down to originally broken by Trump's all.
But they're not even doing that. Like, they won't comment on Steve Simmons. They're just like, no, we're not even going to acknowledge this.
Yeah, I know. But it's just tomorrow this will be forgotten, so it doesn't matter.
What is fascinating as a Leaf fan is the idea that the best star that we've had in God knows how long may now have like permanent fucking lung disease or something. Like, when people are recovering from this, it means they no longer have the disease. It does not mean they completely recover. And young pro athletes, obviously have a better chance of full recovery. And a lot of these people are asymptomatic and all of these things. But it is very Leafs to be like, by the way, this life threatening thing is struck the stars that you have.
And I don't want to diminish the severity of the disease, but what you're saying is very important as well, that a lot of these guys who have tested positive are either asymptomatic or have low-grade fevers in healthy,
and we don't know.
That's right,
because he doesn't want us to know, Steve.
But in healthy young males or young athletes, it is in a lot of cases, it is mild.
Yep. but has the potential to be career altering.
Yep, that's what I said. I don't want.
I'm with you.
In any way diminish this.
Yeah.
It was a matter of, and that is the problem with this disease. Is
we don't know shit.
Well, and you're walking around with it, but you are maybe not affected by it.
Right.
You are asymptomatic, but you were spreading it.
Yep.
You're not sick, but I'm out there just living it up. Maybe I'm in Beach of the Ozarks, or I'm somewhere in Florida.
Sure.
Spreading it like wildfire.
Maybe you're ripping on people just west of Lindsay, Ontario, who are actually taking it serious while you're out being a douche.
Yeah, but okay.
It could be anybody, man. We don't know. It could be anybody.
In the central Ontario.
Sure.
Area.
We have no idea.
That you are born with a slight defect if you're from that area.
Man, we told you off the top, this was a full one.
There's a pile of shit to get to.
Yeah. And we may have to do something later this week again. We'll see.
Well, but, and you know what the thing is? My last beer, I've cracked my third beer. There's
honestly, it's a three beer show. That's rare.
And so this last one was an Innocent Gun.
Yeah.
Green Label, the craft lager, which to me is it says summertime drinking all over it. So in terms of a mass produced beer, that to me you can't go wrong with the Innocent Gun Green Label.
My third one here that I cracked was a good old Molson Canadian as a tribute to the old man on Father's Day, even though this won't come out until the day after Father's Day. But hope you're all having a great weekend.
I want to say, you know, my father, I still say it every year, when I grow up, I want to be exactly like him.
You should do that soon. Should get on that.
He's still the guy that I respect and admire the most.
Of course, right? Man.
Yeah. My dad. So happy Father's Day to all fathers, past, present, and future fathers.
Even if you don't know it yet.
And some of you actually, from the time of recording of the show till the next morning, may actually now be fathers.
We got a great message the other day. It was from a guy named Chris. That's all he identified himself by. He said, when I used to go to work, I would have the show set to auto-download so that when he got in his car, he would listen on the Monday morning drive to work. He said, now I get up, I go out and I make my coffee and I go to the living room and I start the show. He said, my wife came out this past Monday and went, these idiots again. Could you just stop?
God bless you, Chris.
Yeah, we love you, man. Thanks for sticking with us.
And it's for you that we do this show.
Of course. So, and we'll win her over. Keep playing us. When she comes out, we'll win her over.
She may learn a thing or two.
Right. That is Tall Can Audio number 698. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio. Rob is at Captain Blowhard. Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. We will see you all later this week.
See ya.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.